Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Willie Donick with us for the next hour here on the program. Breaking down the Nashville Predators, the plan of attack for the offseason, all those things. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. By the way, had a lot of participation with your thoughts on the Preds the last 2 days. Really appreciate that. Keep it coming on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Willie D., good morning. How are we doing?
Let it play, Nick.
Yeah, that's the real thing.
Are we scratching in there?
Yeah.
There it is. This will help get my brain working at 8:04. This is a test. Is my brain working fully to be on with you guys in studio?
That's right. It's big commitment on your part. We really appreciate
it. Oh, yeah.
It.
I love it, though. This is great stuff. This is because I think this is going to be one of the most intriguing off seasons the Predators have ever had. There's so many options that they've set themselves up with, and I'm not sure there's a clear answer, right or wrong, and I'm really intrigued to see what Barry Trotz decides to do.
I am too. So I think all of us would agree that the Predators overachieved this year. When you look back at expectations heading into the season, what they did, where they finished, everybody agrees that they overachieved. I do think it's
there was anybody that expected this.
Yeah,
I didn't hear from them before the season.
I did not either.
They were quite silent before the season.
They were. So I think a more complicated part of it is, okay, now that it's happened, where do you go from here? And we've been kind of batting this around the last couple of days of, like, if you're Barry Trotz, you could look at this team and say, you know what? They're a little bit better than I thought they were. They're a little bit closer to competing than I thought they were. And you could try to add to that this offseason in free agency with some veterans and bring some guys in and re-sign UC Saros and go on trying to make a cup run next season. Or you could look at it and say, you know what, I like this team, but they're still not quite where I want them to be. They're not as young as I want them to be, and you need more spots for some younger players. And you could kind of go the opposite direction and maybe try to open up some spots for some younger guys and maybe in the short term take a step back for the hope that it's a long-term game. It's a really interesting spot that they're in right now. So how do you kind of view where they're at as we begin the offseason here and the approaches that are possible for Barry Trotz here?
I think as you get more and more removed from the frustration or the disappointment of not winning that series, which they were right there. I mean, it was so close. They should have gone to 7, right? Because they should have won game 4. But when you look at the team and what it's going to be next year, I do think that you have to be realistic and say they did overachieve, especially when you consider that the path I thought they might be able to take into the playoffs was with UC Saros kind of carrying them on their back as he has the previous 3 seasons pretty much and elevating everything else. He was more or less league average, which is below average for him,
yeah.
And they still cruised into the playoffs by the time the season was over. And that is with them basically admitting they were going to be sellers about 2 weeks before the trade deadline. So it was quite the ride to get there. After starting 5-10, going on a run, then leveling off, then going on the incredible 18-game run. So assessing all of that, I still think there are a couple of steps from being a true heavyweight. When you watch the Avalanche play and you watch Edmonton play, I'm really curious to see how Vancouver defends Edmonton, because Vancouver beat Edmonton 4 times in the regular season, but 3 of them were at the beginning of the year before Edmonton really hit their stride. They did beat them in Edmonton late in
the
year.
Division on the line.
Yep.
With the division on the line.
Without Demko.
And I do think that Vancouver is the best defensive team that I saw against the Predators all year.
Agreed.
I really thought, but is that going to hold up against Edmonton? That's a great test.
I wouldn't take much penalties in that series.
That would be my
I wouldn't do that.
Job one, don't go into the box against that team. But I think with the age of the roster, and I heard you guys talking about this with Adam, I think that's the critical thing is how do you get younger but also get better?
Right.
And it's not an easy answer either way. There's not a clear move on how to do that, but I think that's how you try to thread the needle. I don't think you'd want to take a big step back, which is one option, take a step back to let the younger players play, to take the extra steps forward. Then there's the other doubling down, and you know, you bring up a name like Steven Stamkos, just by doing somebody like that, bringing in another 30-something, that only makes your roster older.
Right.
And then you're really, because in a couple of years, Ryan O'Reilly, Roman Josi, Gus Nyquist, those guys are going to be aging and probably regressing a little bit. So somewhere in here, you've got to get younger.
So I think you also you have to make a goalie decision. I mean, I think we have to get right to the goalie decision. Are you still Saros, Askarov, long-term deals for both and put them both in goal at the same time plan for Willie Donick? That is partially a joke.
Yes. I hear all the Saros discussion, but I'm just so we know going in, I'm not married to having to keep UC Saros. I think you're trying to my goal would be, and this is stressfully, this is not I'm stressing this. This is not inside info, me, you know, giving you somebody's opinion from the inside. This is just how I would look at it. I would try to get UC Saros to the right deal, the right next deal in a perfect world, and have him be my goalie for the next few seasons and Yaroslav Askarov to be the apprentice for the next few seasons. And then in the coming years, you decide what to do for the next step when it presents itself.
Okay, so first of all,
you got to get him to the right deal.
Okay, so how low realistically would he go? Because I can't imagine his agent would do anything but laugh at anything less than like 7.5 AAV and 7 years. In which case, how do you get younger, better? How do you improve your other assets if you have both of those guys here?
All right,
one of them could fetch something for you.
Okay, so Andre Vasilevskiy is $9.5 million. Connor Hellebuck $8.5 million. The tricky one is Ilya Sorokin at $8.25 million, who's a little younger than Saros. I don't think you go higher than any of those. I read some comparables that Sorokin's contract is the target, and it might be to start with from the agent side. And I think you take the next tier of goalies, John Gibson 6.4, Jordan Binnington 6, Jacob Markstrom 6. I think Saros is better than those guys. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, totally agree.
I mean, Saros has been, despite the off year, one of the top five goalies in the regular season over the last 4 years, I would say.
Yeah.
And he just turned 29, so you've got his age 29, 30, 31, 32 coming up. I believe, and this is what I've told you guys, the biggest reason I am ready to recommit to Saros is I know the person. I watch him every day. I know what he's about mentally. I know what he puts in. Like, let me just tell you, after a game, he'll play a great game. Everybody will get on the bus and head back to the hotel or go home or whatever. UC Saros stays after the game and works out after the game. Does his regimen. He has a regimen he does after the game. He's the last guy on the bus to go back to the hotel. He's so dedicated to his craft. He's so technically sound. He is special. That's why I think that I listen to everybody say, well, he's 5-10 or 5-11 in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff series. I get all that. There's no question. But I still believe that you can win with him, and he is going to be worth investing in going forward. I think that means a lot. So all that to say, because he had an off year and because he hasn't won a playoff series, maybe you can get him for a little less than you were going to get him had he had a great year this year or had a couple of playoff series victories. That might be the opportunity to get him to a contract. And I think under 8 to me is realistic because of what you can offer in Nashville, right? You know, a lot of his teammates over the years have taken a little less to stay here because your money goes further.
Yep.
You like being here. It's what you know. You're comfortable here. And I think you sell him on, if you take a little less, we can build a championship team around you.
There's another point on the Soros front I want to get to coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick with us for the next 45 minutes here talking all things Nashville Predators. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So back on the Soros front, obviously this is a big decision coming up. And look, Barry Trotz could make it this summer. He doesn't have to. I mean, he can stretch it in the next season if he wants to and then kind of see where things fall after that. So I think most people think a decision is coming this summer. I would probably put myself in that category that I expect a decision one way or the other to come this summer, but it may not. We'll see what Barry Trotz does.
You could take it into the season.
You could take it into the season.
And I wouldn't rule that out. I would say that's got a decent probability.
But he told me at the deadline.
I'd feel bad for Soros if that were the case.
I would too. But
it happened with Forsberg, did it not?
It did. He told me at the deadline that July 1st doesn't really mean anything to him. Like, he can do it then, but he's not married to July 1st being the date. So we'll see what happens on that front. So let's say you look at Soros, you're not able to come to an agreement this offseason in terms of an extension, and it carries on in the next season. And meanwhile, Askarov next year is playing great, whether that's in the backup role here in Nashville or he's in Milwaukee again and you brought Lankinen back for another year or whatever. Like, how much wiggle room does, like, the deadline of next season's trade deadline? Like, I feel like you have to have something figured out by then. You may not have to do it this summer, but I feel like it's got to be done by next deadline, in my opinion, and maybe you disagree with that. How much does that factor into kind of like the timeline of where you make a decision with Soros?
I think in a perfect world, you would have the decision before the season started. I do think I would have to say you've probably had some parameters already discussed.
I would
assume
so. Don't
you think? Yeah. So they probably have sort of their baseline of what they're looking for, but I think they've already gone through the process. Barry Trotz has been very transparent about it, where he's told UC Soros, I'm listening to offers. I got to do my job. This is the business. And I thought Soros, I don't know whether his year, which was a little bit below par for him, was affected by all of that talk, right? There was talk from the beginning of the season of, is it time to trade Soros? Where are they going? Should they trade him? I would think he's human. That could have weighed on him. That's possible. So that's what I would be concerned about, is if you go into next year and Askarov is backing up and the team is doing well, not so well, whatever in between, you're probably going to have some ups and downs, and that's unresolved, that could be some pretty noisy stuff for sure. Like, you certainly wouldn't want to trade him if he's having a good year at the trade deadline and the team is going to the playoffs again, right? So that's a possibility. There's a lot of different ways it could go. So I would try to have it resolved in the summer. But also, I think if you have your number set, if you're Barry Trotz, and he's not willing to meet you there, then I think you have to tell him, well, look, I've got to listen to what offers are out there, because there's going to be offers. There's a lot of teams that would love to have UC Soros. And I think the same conversations that were happening before the trade deadline would resume at that point. And that would be smart to explore that.
Well,
you don't want to overpay him, right? Because
for sure,
you have avenues of still being good if you trade UC Soros.
Yes.
A lot of reaction on the text line. Some mad at you. One said, well, all right, Willie's talked me into it. I'm back on. I want Soros signed. So, and I think that's great insight that you had on Soros, you know, the dedication. I have no questions about that, that he's a great player, that he's a top five goalie in the league or right around there. He's a great person. My thought that they should move him has nothing to do with him. It's just their situation and how do they get out of this situation and give themselves more room. And again, it's also tied to the belief or the hope, which seems to me to have some validity, that Yaroslav Askarov is going to develop into a top goalie in this league. If you don't think that, if you're in this organization and you have serious doubts about that, well, then that's a huge part of this discussion that has to enter into it,
for
right?
Sure.
I mean, that's I've kind of been operating under the belief, just watching it, you know, that he's developing at a nice rate.
Well, and here's the other thing that is kind of where I come at this from, and you can point to examples on both sides of this argument, and I realize that. But I think it's a fair question in today's NHL. Is paying a goaltender 7.5, 8, 8.5, whatever the number is, wherever it lands, it's going to be pretty high. Is paying a goaltender in today's NHL the smart way to go about doing it? I mean,
yep.
Colorado has rolled out there with Darcy Kemper in goal and has won a Stanley Cup. He's a good but not great goalie. Adin Hill is a good but not great goalie. Now, Andre Vasilevsky is a great goalie, and he's won 2 Stanley Cups. They also have Stamkos.
That's a heck of a team, too, but yes.
They got all kinds of stuff. So that's in today's NHL, that's where I approach this from. Is it the smartest move to pay a goaltender $8 million a year?
I would say that the cap is going to go up. So $7.5 to $8 million in the coming years is not like $7 to $8 million today, especially these last couple of years where there's been a lot of restriction with the COVID and all the fallout from that where the cap hasn't gone up. Right, so the percentage of the cap will change. So $8 million won't be that much. That's part of my thinking in reinvesting in Soros. It's not going to be a ridiculous part. Like right now, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky is $10 million.
Yeah,
Bobrovsky was a big part of why they went to the finals last year, even though he's been really up and down in the regular season. He's capable. I would point to you this way: do you think the Rangers have an advantage over Carolina because they have Shesterkin, and Carolina is more like you're saying, Robbie. Yeah. They're going with the we'll just use a goalie,
yeah.
a good goalie.
Yeah,
Freddie Anderson's a good goalie. He's
for sure.
Not Shesterkin,
no question.
I would say too, the Oilers series the last 3 years against the Kings. Look at the Kings goalies those 3 years.
Yeah.
They've just kind of had a goalie. Would a great goalie have helped them maybe get past the Oilers? Maybe.
They're also an example of a team that once had a goalie carry them to the cup when they shouldn't have, right?
But
that,
right.
That,
yeah,
I was trying to think of the last time that really happened. Is that the last time?
Well,
I would think Vasilevsky had a lot to do with
he's
how
got a lot to do
Tampa
with it.
Did.
Now, they have great players up and down. I mean, they had everything. They're great. But no question, Vasilevsky was a big part of it.
I think can the Predators have the type of roster you're talking about?
Right.
That's good enough to win with a good goalie. Colorado was. Edmonton's trying to find out if they are, right? Because Stuart Skinner's a good goalie. I don't think he's a great goalie.
Yep.
They're not going to win because of him. They're going to win because they overpower you.
Right.
I think the Rangers are an interesting example here. I think they have strengths and weaknesses in their roster. They've got some pretty good firepower. Shesterkin can make up for a lot of miscues. Also, in the coming years, Jake Oettinger is going to get another contract here soon. Shesterkin's going to get another contract soon. I don't think the Predators are going to be the only team that's thinking about paying their goalie $8 million.
I don't think either.
The elite goalies are going to get paid. I think you got to be careful. Carey Price makes $10.5 million. That was a bad deal.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's where you're trying to stay out of that neighborhood.
Well,
and even Bobrovsky at 10 is overpaid.
Right, but you mentioned Shesterkin and Bobrovsky. I think those are the two guys in the top 10 in terms of cap hit from goalie that are in the second round this year. 2 out of 10. It's a really interesting spot that goaltending in general is in right now in the league.
So
it's not as simple as this. I get it. But the Predators did just lose a series where their team was on their third goalie, right? I mean, it's a really interesting time in the league right now with goalies.
And a couple other points. So on the Preds with the cap, like I understand the cap going up. But in the Preds situation, maybe we are going to start to see more prospects at forward develop in this organization and become top-shelf players. But as of now, it seems like they're probably going to have to go pay more to make that happen. And another thing on Soros, he's 29 years old. He's still – I think that this year was really rough early, and then I think we saw more of what he is.
Oh, right? I think for over half of the season – he was below average, below league average, which was mystifying.
So I would feel better about his trajectory. I do think it's still something you use in negotiations. But the way he plays, the post-to-post athleticism, does that mean that when you get it to 32, 33, you are more diminished than the 6'4" goalie who doesn't, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's worth asking the question.
I think any goalie who gets into the mid-30s is a question mark. I would, regardless of body size, et cetera. And
but he is more reliant on athleticism, right? I mean, and he's fantastic
I do think, too, that they've got to, in the coming years, reduce his workload, regardless of what his contract is. If they're keeping him, I think they've got to get his starts. This is the trend of the league. This is what most people are saying, that it's not wise to play your goalies 64, 65 games every year, especially as he gets older.
Load management in the NHL.
Yeah, basically, you need two guys. I think it's becoming proven. Maybe not in the playoffs, but for the regular season, that workload to sustain what your productivity is going to be.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more with Willie Dunn.
That's where my angle of having a scar off as your backup, I think, could be really exciting.
Oh, so real quickly on that.
I just don't think Askarov is, in the next year or two, ready to be a starter.
So let me ask you this, real quickly on that. Let's say Saros gets a long-term deal here. How long are you willing to go with Askarov as the backup? If Saros is on a 6-year deal, is Askarov waiting 6 years? Like, what do you do?
I think you for about 2 or 3 years have him penciled in as your backup, and you evaluate as you go. But I think you sell him. First of all, I think Askarov is frustrated to the point. I think part of why he's not doing well, Milwaukee. Well, let's talk about this on the other side, because I think it's a big part. Because I think there's a lot of people that think, well, just trade Saros and put Askarov in there as your starter. I've got big, big problems with that, but we can get into what's going on with
that. We'll get more into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yoshi sends
just
it up.
Over 50% now.
Now down behind the Nashville goal. Battle for possession there. Put right in front. Mikhaev stopped. Point blank. And then Saros comes over, and he stops Pettersson. You've got to be kidding me.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, discussing the Nashville Predators and the offseason with Willie Donick here on the program. Taking your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Willie, a quick point on Askarov in terms of him being in the backup role, and if you're in the organization, do you have questions about what he could be quickly? A lot of people think you could trade Saros now, and you could put Askarov in next year, and you just roll with that if you're the Predators. And maybe it's not quite that simple.
I really don't think that's going to happen, because I think that's just too much to put on Askarov in his development path. I think if you look around the league, it's very rare that a guy in his young 20s is ready to take on the starter's role. You see how stressful it is, the mental strain, when you go through a rough patch. It can bury you, especially when you're in your low 20s. I've seen more than one come up, crash and burn, and then they go back for a while. Look at, I'll use Devin Levi from Buffalo as an example. They have a real good young team. Everybody thought they were going to win. They're like, Devin Levi's the man. Bring him out of Northeastern University. Throw him in there. He did well in the last year. We gave him a couple starts. He looked good. He was back in the minors before halfway through the season. Just couldn't handle it.
Yeah, you know, Trotz is obviously, he's talked so often about the, I love the term overcooked. He would prefer overcooked, as he's big on not going to put these guys in too early and give them significant roles too early. But some of that is kind of just getting your butts kicked by great veteran players in this league and what that does to your confidence. Does he feel the exact same way about a goalie? I suppose
I would think even more. I think you want to. I think an apprenticeship under UC Saros would be great for Askarov, because Askarov, you have Saros, who is what? Icy calm. Now, internally, he's a competitor, right? He is a tough critic on himself. He's an extremely hard worker, but you don't see much emotion from him game in and game out. Askarov, completely different, right? Wears his emotions on his sleeve, swagger, confidence, and that's good. But I think, can he harness it?
A little bit of balance, maybe.
Can he harness it? And what could he learn from UC Saros? I think he could learn a ton from UC Saros. And I think Here's what I think of Askarov, too. Barry Trotz said this in his weekly interview with Jared right after the trade deadline. I think Askarov was disappointed that he didn't get the call, one way or the other, right? Either Saros getting traded, Lankinen getting traded. I think he thought he was ready to come up and play some games. And I think that's fair, right? He was dominating at that point. They had won 19 in a row. He had all these shutouts. And he was like, what? I'm ready. Like, he believes in himself, right? He's already come up and had a taste of it and done well. He's got a win. So I was like, he was probably like, what? Wait, you don't want me to come up and save your season? Like, I think he's got that belief that he's going to be great. So I think that probably affected his play down the stretch in the AHL. He's leveled off some, right? Milwaukee's down a couple of games in their series. He hasn't played well. They've had some injuries. They've had some adversity. The team in front of him is not as good.
He had a great hit, though. Great check.
He did. Great body check.
And that's the kind of thing you think about if you throw him in there, especially if he's your quote, man. If he's doing that stuff, he's going to get the attention of the entire league, right? And can he handle that? That's a lot. Now, if he's your backup and you're trying to still harness and corral this and you can come back with UC Saros in the next game, I think you can deal with some of that stuff. And he learns as he goes what works and what doesn't work. But I think we're putting too much on him being ready to be a starter. So I think it's time for him to be the backup. I don't think they can go back to him and say you're starting him in Milwaukee next year. I just that could stunt his
growth. Might he react to that?
I agree.
Well,
with that.
And especially with a Russian goalie who has who's probably got some people in the KHL now.
Yeah,
he left the KHL. Remember when he was in the KHL, they buried him. Once he said I want to go to the NHL, they're like, okay, you're sitting on the bench,
right?
And that was a bummer. He doesn't want to do that. But I think you're trying to be fair. He is an uber talent. He's got a really high ceiling. But I equate it to a pitcher who might throw 98 miles an hour with a wicked slider, but you're not sure if he's got the command yet. And it's going to take another couple years before he gets that command. When he gets that command, it's lights out, right? That's when you have something really special.
And then you have five more years of Saros making $7.5 or $8 million.
Right, but to me, that's a good problem.
What were we going to say?
What's wrong with that? You have the best goalie tandem in the league.
Right, well, I'd rather have that money for forwards that I'm severely lacking.
But the cap is going to go up. You're also going to come out of having to pay the Kyle Turris's, the Matt Duchesne's, the Ryan. They've got that bill to pay for the next couple years,
right,
too.
But the point is, if you're Askarov as a backup, it's Saros as your starting goalie.
Remember the 1-1A that I'm talking about here. It's a little bit more. The backup is going to play a lot more than the backup. We're not used to watching the backup play more than 20 games.
But I also don't want to pay $8 million.
Why are you paying
$8 million
if Saros is playing 45 games a year?
He's not playing 45 games a year. He's playing more like 50 to 55. That's what the starters are doing most of the time.
But you can't do that.
Saros has played more than anybody over the last 3 years, and that's 64 games.
But that, to me, like, you can't do that for 7 years. Like, you can't pay Saros and then just have Askarov as your backup for the next 3-4 years.
Why not?
Because it's terrible asset management.
I just think you can get something for one of them.
Well, at some point, you might. At some point,
I think you can do it now and must.
But what are you getting in return for them?
I don't know. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know.
What do we know that they need? They need a number one center. Barry Trotz put it on the Batman
the
building.
Out there, yes.
You know, if there was a bat signal coming from the Batman building. We need a number one center. He has said it to everybody. So what are your better chances?
Basically been out there for 25 years, right? Yes.
What is your best bet of getting that number one center? This offseason or in 2 or 3 years as you build, hopefully, a great goalie tandem and everybody's looking at Askarov saying, wow, this guy is unbelievable. I'll trade you a number one center for that guy. Or vice versa. They've got Saros. We want to win right now. Give me Saros, you use Askarov, I'll give you...
But who's going to trade the number one center for you for a guy that's never been a starter in the league?
Who's going to trade a number one center today for either one of those guys?
You're not going to get a number one center for either one of those
guys.
So what's the difference 3 years ever?
So there's your asset management. Why would I take less than having two great assets, which is what I feel like they have right now? Take that asset. Have great goaltending. On a team where Andrew Burnett's system, they did amazing things about having the puck in the offensive zone.
They did.
We want the puck. We want to keep the puck. You don't have the puck. They held the Canucks to 13 goals in that series. Not because they have six great defensemen, right? Because their system has them playing in the offensive zone. They are more than the sum of their parts. So I think you could have a great defensive team.
I think that if you're
with great goaltending.
I guess keep coming back to if I'm paying Saros, and I'm with you, I think the work it's been an incredible bargain, really, if $5 million a year for what he's given them and the work he's done. Maybe he's just owed some more money right now. But if I'm paying him, then he's my guy. He's the man.
Right.
And then I have a backup, and I'm trying to get something for Ascarov. I mean,
we're saying nine or ten less games. Like, he's playing 64 now. The right number for him probably is about 55 going forward. That's what most people say in general.
Right.
Is how you should break it up.
So why are you giving him a big raise if you're taking 10 games away from him? That would
because
be
you want to have the best version of that guy.
I hear you.
I mean, Vasilevsky, he's been injured and all that stuff. Like, he's not playing 64, 65 games anymore. I don't think Hellebuck is going to be playing that many.
Do they regret their deal that they gave him right now?
I don't think so. In this moment,
it's a prisoner of the moment.
He's going to win the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah. He's going to win the Vezina Trophy. He just got shelled and did not play well against Colorado.
Okay, but Colorado shells people.
They do.
Colorado.
But he's supposed to be the reason that they can overcome them, right? Yeah. Like, that's supposed to be
how you overcome
them.
Did you watch some of those games? Like, I know there were a couple of goals where he screwed up, but that was an absolute barrage.
But again, that's also like, so there's a team that does it one
Colorado
way.
Is special.
They are. But that's the thing is, we can, whatever way you go with all this stuff, I still don't see the way, what's the answer to get that guy or those
let's
couple
put it this
guys?
Way.
That's if the hard part, right? Like,
if I'm playing Colorado or Edmonton, which is, and Dallas is a little different, but Colorado or Edmonton, I want Saros or Hellebuck in goal and not David Rittich. Okay?
For sure.
Or Cam Talbot.
I'd also like to be able to match them and score like 5-6 goals on a given
night. Okay, but
and
who
maybe
can
I
that?
Win that way. But.
Okay, but everybody says, well, just build a team like that. Nobody's going to be able to do that. Draisaitl, MacKinnon, McDavid, Rantanen, those guys are freaks. You can't get a team like that, I don't think. Nobody's going to have that.
It's hard.
Well, it's hard, yeah.
You don't just get those guys.
No, for sure. There's no question
Or you have to really stink for four or five years.
That's the other
thing. And,
which
okay.
They're clearly not going to be willing.
LA stunk for 4 or 5 years. They totally rebuilt. They've built this team back. They're supposed to be winning now. This is supposed to be the rebuild.
Now they're
talking
about rebuilding again.
Exactly.
They're decent.
They can't.
Well, the Red Wings is a great example.
This is the point. The Red Wings, it's a great example, right? But they're Chicago, hello? When are they going to be good again? How long is it going to be? They haven't been good since 2017.
I'm sure the lottery will be rigged in for them.
Win the lottery. When's the next time they're going to be good?
They got the four cups, though.
Three.
Four? They got three.
615.
Sorry, I can't believe I gave them an extra cup. My God.
What is that? 615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's quickly go to Michael on our phone line. 1025, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Michael, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, fellas. You answered my question. Someone pivot. You know, I know there's no easy answer to the Saros thing. My concern is, though, you know, halting Askarov's development and him being, you know, ready to play, even though if he's not, right? So I don't see why you can't move Saros this offseason. Again, you have six picks in the top three. You have two first next year. You have UC Saros. To your point, Willie, the cap is going up. You are going to have Turris and Duchesne or Johansson, whichever one, off the books. Why not, you know, get richer? Why not have your cake and eat it, too? Get some assets. Move some people. You can get some. I guarantee you can get a nice young talent from one of these teams that perennially don't do well and draft up Columbus. You know, I'm just throwing a name out there. But, I think you can get some young pieces back. Yeah, you're not going to get a one center that's going to play today, but we're not ready to win a cup today either. So I want to see your thoughts on something like that is.
Okay.
Michael.
The people that are interested in the trade, I got to know who you're talking about because I'm not dumb, right? If I'm Barry Trotz and I get a home run call, then look, all bets are off at that point.
I think you'd be gone now.
That's my assumption
is they have not been blown away with anything they've gotten, right. Probably for either one of these guys.
Well, and it's worth like, you know, you didn't get it last year. You didn't get it at the trade deadline, obviously, because they kept him. Are you going to get it now with him just having a year left on his deal? I mean, the attractiveness of the deadline, if you were trading for Saros, was – I get him for now and this postseason run, and I get him for next year, and then you can make a decision after that. So I would be very surprised if the home run trade call for Soros was coming this offseason. I'll put it that way.
And if it does, then you deal with it.
Gover has a – I think you have to lower your price if you're Trouts. But Gover also has a point here on the text line. Thank you, Gover. And how would Soros, who may have been affected by trade rumors this past season, feel about mentoring his replacement? Not a healthy situation.
We'll get into that. More of your thoughts on the Predators coming up next. Willie Donick with us talking all things Nashville Predators. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rogue, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on the Predators. Willie Donick is with us, talking all things Nashville Predators. This has basically turned into a goaltending conversation, which I'm here for.
We had a great debate in this just this last break with the suit coming in.
Yeah, he did.
He's on our side.
Charles,
three against one. Let's keep it.
So let's get into your microphone's off. Let's get into that.
I think it's a great conversation. Let me join it.
Nobody
now.
Can
Thank
hear.
You.
So I still want to hear the alternative. Like who? Okay, so you trade Soros. Askarov is part of the equation. Who's the other part of the equation?
Well, in terms of
who's the other
starter
goal?
Next year? Well, a lot of people would just say bring back Lankinen.
So you'd have to do that, but you'd have to make that call before free agency hits because Lankinen is going to be a free agent.
He's going to be a free agent for sure. So you'd have to make that call,
and then you're committed to trading Soros, and that hurts your trade value, right? So that I'm not sure about the timeline of that.
You know,
that doesn't put you in a great spot.
It doesn't put you in a great spot. There's no question about that.
Or you just have to let Lankinen go into the fray,
yep.
and hope that you can get him back.
Maybe you don't. I mean, it just depends on what happens there.
But if you don't, I think Lankinen has won them over to a large degree. I think he is a pro. He is excellent in the role that he's been. Now he wants more, right?
For
Lankinen
sure.
believes he can be a starter
in
this league, and he's almost exactly the same age as Juuse Saros. So this is a big contract for him. I think he wants to see what's out there regardless. But I got to know who that other guy is.
Well, you're going to have to – I mean, again, I think if you do it, I think you probably are signing up for a step back one way or the other. I don't think you're going to find someone – I mean, so Scarve is probably going to have to take some bumps, right, if you were in a shared situation, 1A, 1B situation. You're probably going to take a step back, which isn't ideal for some of the guys on this roster. But, I mean, I think that you have to embrace that possibility based on return and, again, based on the extra flexibility that you have because you made that deal and you didn't sign up to pay a goalie $8 million over the next several years.
And here's the flip side of things. Let's say they sign Soros. So you've got Soros locked in for the next 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it is. How quickly can you build a Stanley Cup contender? That's the other thought. Like if you're Barry Trotz, you've got a nice veteran core right now with Josi and Forsberg and some supplementary pieces like McDonough that are still playing at a pretty high level. How do you add to the group with Soros and that deal in the background of it?
And you are still Barry Trotz. And you're still paying, like you said, those bills on the buyouts are still there too. So
for the next 2 years, you've got pretty significant payment. I think it's what, $11 or $12 million.
Yeah.
Per year the next couple years. Then that bill will be paid. Then all of a sudden stuff opens up a lot. But that's a tough question. That is a tough question because, and I heard you guys talking about this, Adam Vingan. I love the number of prospects they have in Milwaukee. I think there's some really nice pieces there. I don't know that you have the elite guy that you put at the top. If you could combine three of them into one superstar player, that might be better than having three good players because is there room? Where do you put all these?
Absolutely.
That was part of what they dealt with. But I just try to keep in mind how young some of these guys are. Like, I'm really excited about what Kemmel, for example, is going to look like in a couple of years.
Agreed.
I think he's going to be really, really good. I hear great things about LaRue, and he's still awfully young. But him as a pest, physical, nasty guy with some scoring touch in 2 or 3 years, it's good. But does that jive with – like Gus Nyquist at age 34 had an unbelievable year. Didn't get hurt. Every night consistent on the first line. Is he going to get better at age 35 and 36? I think that's a little tough to ask. In a perfect world, he gears down a little bit. Same thing with Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
They had guys that were playing a little bit higher than on a in a perfect world what a cup contender would look like.
And made an incredible line, by the way.
They did.
And did unbelievably well. But can they repeat that next year? That's a tough ask,
that
I think. So how are you going to supplement that? That's a tough question for Barry Trotz. But they do have cap space.
They do.
They have a lot of prospects. They have a lot of draft picks. And let's credit David Poile for that, because there are some GMs that come in their second year and they're like, okay, we got to do this. We got to do this. What do we got? Well, we have no cap space. Well, they traded all the draft picks and the prospects. Like, how are the Islanders going to get better?
It's tough.
They have no, they have no way.
Yeah.
Lou Lamoriello is sitting there going, okay, I'm coming back. You know what? He's going to have the same team. They're all signed. They're all up against the cap. That's all. What he's got is what he's got.
Other people don't want either.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think the best part to that answer, I don't know what the answer is. It's tough, tough. There's some pretty interesting free agents out there.
There are.
But, and they have the cap space to go get one or two of them. But they have the options. Other teams are very strapped in what they can do.
Yep.
And that's an advantage to the Predators.
Willie, this has been fun, man. Appreciate you taking
great
time.
Great conversation.
Let's do it again later in the summer as this unfolds again.
I like it.
I agree. Yeah. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe is up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.